It's 5:44 and you're tuned to All Things Considered here on 90.1 WABE, Atlanta's NPR station. I'm Jim Burris, and for Dennis O'Hare, 250,000, the estimated number of Liberians killed in a 14-year civil war. One, the number of psychiatrists in Liberia when the war ended nearly a decade ago. In 2004, the country of about 4 million people found itself ill-equipped to heal the mental health wounds left by the conflict. This afternoon, we continue our series, Why Liberia?, with a look at efforts to build a mental health infrastructure. 41-year-old Ismael Kroma cradles his head in his hands as he remembers Liberia's civil war.
My father was killed by citizens of our own town.
Ismael's family is Mandingo, a tribe he says was, quote, hated. Townspeople also killed his brother and a refugee living with them. The only reason Ismael is alive is because he was away working for the UN. Ismael says he rarely talks about the war because it reminds him of something beyond his control.
2, 4, 5 years back, I would have never said this without shedding tears.
5 years back, I'd never said this without bursting into tears, he says, still on the verge of breaking down. Ismael's story is nearly universal in Liberia. Many wear the obvious scars of war. Others hide their memories. Up to 70% of women and girls, for example, were sexually assaulted during the Civil War.
Some husbands saw their wives being raped, their children being raped before them.
Dr. Miko Josephine Dole is Liberia's director of mental health.
Their properties destroyed before them. And not only that, some people committed some very terrible atrocities during the war.
Dole says many people don't talk about their situations. Those who want to often cannot find a qualified medical worker who will listen. Fewer than 1% of Liberians have access to mental health services. Even among health providers, misconceptions, misinformation, and a general lack of knowledge contribute to what Dr. Dole calls a, quote, knowledge deficit. But that's changing with help from the Atlanta-based Carter Center's Access to Mental Health Initiative.
What do you use?
A frail but sharp Caucasian man sits behind a desk in a classroom at Monrovia's John F. Kennedy Hospital. 20 Liberian nurses and physician assistants, men and women of all ages dressed in pristine white uniforms, hang on to Dr. Paul Merton's every word.
You have to buy I've been telling them they either need to give you a salbutamol inhaler.
The students are in their second day of an intense 6-month training regimen. Upon completion, they'll become certified mental health practitioners.
What we're seeing is graduates that are making a difference in treating people that do have mental health problems, both identifying them and giving them treatment.
Graduate Luana Corva works as a mental health clinician in the hospital in Voinjima in rural northern Liberia. A generator provides electricity just a few hours a day, but mostly she works by sunlight.
The patient load right now is heavy on me here. As you can see, you see all of these charts.
Corva, one of three practitioners in Voinjima, says she works constantly. Still, she's proud of that hard work, and she tells me the story of a patient she's helped.
He had been eating his own stool, according to his parents.
Fighting with his parents and on the wrong side of the law, she tells me. For 2 years now, he's been on the antipsychotic drug haloperidol, and it's worked. He's a different person, she says. But there remains one issue. Corva shows me a metal cabinet taller than she is. It's almost empty. There are a few bottles of pills, but she's not sure they'll last very long or when she'll get more.
In as much as we're having problems, we have to find money to buy the mental health drugs.
Tolbert Niswa is Liberia's deputy chief medical officer.
But it has been neglected because we haven't had the kind of donor funding and partners to support mental health in Liberia.
Niswa says the Liberian government has spent more than $100,000 on psychotropic drugs. But with high rates of malaria, HIV, and tuberculosis, lots of different programs are competing for severely limited funds. And while access to medication and mental health practitioners is a chronic and pressing issue, he says stigma remains the biggest barrier to those with mental health issues. Coming up tomorrow at 5:44, a conversation one-on-one with President Jimmy Carter about the Carter Center's efforts to bring peace to Liberia.